Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Sultan Abdul Hamid. Today we will talk about chapter 58 in your book, The Quran and the Life of Excellence. And the title of the chapter is Ask Questions and Receive Answers. It's about Surah 25, Ayah 33 in the Quran, which says, "And no puzzling question do they bring to you, but we will bring the truth in answer and the best explanation." I'll read it again. The ayah says, the translation of the ayah says, "And no puzzling question do they bring to you, but we will bring the truth in answer and the best explanation." In this chapter, you have talked about two memory banks inside of each of us. One is at the surface, the conscious mind, and the other the subconscious. Could you elaborate on that a little bit and how it relates to our practice of religion?
Well, so the fact that we have two memory banks is actually very well known. One is the subconscious mind, where we are aware of what we are thinking, and then the much greater reservoir of thoughts is it the unconscious or the subconscious, where our memories and all the other impulses and thoughts and images that we have experienced or inherited are stored, and the two reservoirs of are connected with each other, but in mysterious ways. And so since there is much more content in my subconscious, that influences my life much more than the conscious does. But how this information is exchanged between the conscious and subconscious is not very clearly known.
In your essay, you've described how Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, used the method of tapping into his subconscious to accomplish amazing things. Can you describe that process?
Well, so when someone came to the Prophet, peace be upon him, and asked him a question that he did not know the answer to, or it was a difficult question, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, would not reply right away. Instead, he would wait until the right answer came to him through inspiration or revelation. And so this process works for all of us, because when you are first confronted with a puzzle or something that you are not sure of, your immediate reaction can be erratic because it is based on the limited information you have in your conscious mind, and the fact that you don't know the answer to this right away, it means that you don't have enough information readily available to you in based on what you know consciously. However, you can obtain guidance from the subconscious mind if you wait, and if you ask this question and wait for a while, then a better answer will emerge to you. So there is of course many examples of this from the life of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, but what is more urgent and relevant to us today is that we become aware of this process, and so that we can lead more creative lives and more substantial lives, rather than living off our few conscious choices which are in our awareness.
And in your essay, you've said that some people are startled by this whole discussion of tapping into the subconscious. They say, well, does this mean that anyone could receive revelation like the Prophet, just like he tapped into his subconscious and the method that you describe?
Well, so of course Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was a prophet of God, and his awareness was very, very deep. And so the statements he made contain amazing wisdom, because he could tap into the subconscious at a very deep level. But all of us have access to our subconscious. All of us do have subconscious reservoirs of mind, and we do have inspirations. And if we, in order to lead richer lives, we need to figure out how to tap into this great reservoir of wisdom with each of us. I believe that everyone who has lived for a certain number of years of adulthood has experiences of inspiration touching them. And
you've mentioned artists, writers.
Yes. So in the scientific world or in the art world, it is very well known. I mean, so some, for instance, benzene is a famous, is a organic compound, and its molecular structure was revealed to the scientist, to the chemist in a dream. So he was working on figuring out the molecular structure of benzene, and for many, many years. But one night he saw it, when he woke up, he could see the image in his dream. So that is a very well-known example in the scientific world. But you yourself can maybe have this experience that, take a book that you read in college and you found it to be very difficult.
Right.
And it was hard slogging when you were studying it as a textbook in your college. It could be a book on literature or science or math. But if you read the same book 2 or 3 years later, you will find it so much easier to read, and you will understand it so much better. So how does that happen? It happens because when you first read it, you were dealing with its concept only in terms of your superficial understanding of things. But in the intervening period, your mind had an opportunity to work on the same concept from a deeper level of awareness, and you could make more connections. And now the same material appears so much richer and easier. The same is true if you read a book on classical literature, which initially appears to you to be very difficult. But please go, keep on reading it. Don't give it up because it is difficult. But then if you reread it after the passage of a few months, you will find it so much easier, and your understanding would have grown so much from the same book.
So let's probe deeper into this method of accessing what's in your subconscious, and eventually, as the essay says, or suggests, that using what's in your subconscious, your imagination, to manifest realities in your life.
Yes.
And there's a barrier that needs to be crossed there, and that barrier is clutter.
Yes.
In our brain. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So the subconscious is always present, but it is below the level of consciousness, and there is continuous communication between the conscious and the subconscious minds. But if you are always very, very busy, and there is a continuous input from multiple sources of information throughout your waking hours, and then your subconscious mind becomes preoccupied in processing all of this information, and it loses its disposition or its opportunity to interact with the subconscious is much less. So we have to find ways through which we can facilitate communication from deeper levels of our awareness, from the subconscious to our conscious condition or conscious thinking. And so one way of doing that is to spend time in solitude. And when your mind is quiet, your conscious mind is apparently not processing anything, and in that situation or in that condition, it can become more easily aware of what is bubbling up from below. So you may have noticed by reading the life stories of famous creative people that almost all of them like to spend time by themselves. They prefer solitude. People like scientists or poets or artists or prophets, for that matter, they spend time in solitude so that they can become more aware of what is inside them at a deeper level.
And of course, as you've mentioned in other of your essays, this idea of journaling or writing, consistently writing down your thoughts.
Yeah.
Can you explain the connection between that exercise and the subconscious?
Well, yeah, so by in this context, what we mean by journaling is that you write in an unhindered and unedited fashion and continuously for a segment of time in your journal. You do not try to edit what you are writing. Write from the stream of your consciousness. So if you do that, say for 15 or 20 minutes every day, you write whatever comes to your mind and you keep moving your pen forward without stopping to analyze or judge what you have written, then you are actually writing from a deeper part of yourself. And if you do that for a few weeks and then you come back and read what you have written, then you will discover what is that is in your subconscious.
And the way I am understanding it is there's a subconscious tapping into what's in it,
yeah,
in the existing state,
yeah,
and then actually revamping it or restructuring it,
yes,
using our imagination.
Yes.
Can you describe the restructuring using our imagination, restructuring what's in our subconscious, and the connection between that and our reality? Our lives.
Yeah. So what is taking place in any person's life is dominated by the programming he or she has in their subconscious minds, which is much more powerful than what their conscious will is. Right. So in order to make your life better in any aspect, one has to first realize that I am living a life, my life in a certain way. I am behaving in a certain way, because this corresponds with the thoughts I have deep within myself. And so if I want to change this this pattern of behavior, suppose I am in the habit of picking a quarrel with people in my office once or twice a week or on a regular basis. So this, at first, if we are not very aware of how things work, we may think that it is because of how the other people are. But in reality, all patterns that we experience, which occur on a consistent basis, are coming from within ourselves. So there is something within me which somehow makes other people want to quarrel with me or me to quarrel with them. Once you realize this, then you are motivated to change this behavior. You realize that it is coming from me. There is a certain conversation going on within my subconscious, or there is a tendency there which makes me act like this. So I need to change this thought pattern within myself, right? So, and then there are many ways of approaching this, right? So,
You mentioned journaling or writing on a regular basis to access the subconscious that way. What is the connection to this and prayer?
Well, so prayer actually, journaling, as we discussed a minute ago, is a way of learning what is inside of you, what you are thinking of, right? So for instance, to go back to the example I gave about somebody who has quarrels in the office, so it is quite possible that that person, if he or she investigates what is going on inside mind, maybe at some deep level they feel that people who they work with are trying to take advantage of them, or they are not fair people, or that they discriminate against me, or they may have some thought pattern which predisposes them to act negatively towards colleagues, right? So it says, so this is a matter of diagnosing oneself, right? Now prayer, of course, is something different. Prayer is, so in a traditional sense, prayer is something we say, it's a string of words that we utter, hoping that they will come true, right? So the aim of prayer among, there are many, many different types of prayer, but one aim of prayer is to change how our situation is and want to make it better. See, for instance, you may pray that you work in an environment which is supportive and friendly, right? So that is a prayer. And so prayer, so the idea behind prayer is this, that if there is a certain desire I have, there is something I want to happen, if I say it again and again and again, then eventually this thought will penetrate my subconscious and then will become part of how I think at a deeper level, and therefore will then be manifested like that in my physical reality.
Thank you so much for discussing this chapter with us, called Ask Questions and Receive Answers.
Thank you.